headlines this hour. Iraq's Electoral Commission says former Premier Iyad Allawi nearly wins the parliamentary elections. Foreign Minister Nouri al-Maliki says the results are not final. Israeli intrusion into the Gaza Strip leaves 4 Palestinians and 2 Israeli soldiers dead. And also this hour, the U.S. and Russia conclude a nuclear arms treaty, which imposes sweeping cuts on deployed nuclear warheads.
And clearly it is in the national interest. It demonstrates the special responsibility and leadership of the United States and Russia, since we collectively have more than 90% of the world's nuclear weapons.
It is 2200 GMT and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. Well, former Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Allawi's Iraqiya bloc has won the largest number of seats in general elections, but failed to win an overall majority. Allawi has already pledged to work with all sides to form a government. Well, Iraq's election commission says Iraqiya has won 91 seats in the 325-member parliament. That's just 2 seats more than Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's State of the Law coalition. Maliki has rejected the results and says they are not final. Iraqiya's victory means Allawi will be given the first opportunity to form a government, which would require a coalition holding at least a majority of 163 seats. If he fails to do so within 30 days, Iraq's president would choose the leader of another bloc to try to form a coalition government.
Well, 2 bomb blasts in northeastern Iraq have killed at least 42 people and wounded dozens more. Officials say 2 improvised explosive devices went off outside a restaurant in Diyala province. Women and children are among the dead. Violence has dropped dramatically across Iraq in recent years, but attacks remain common, especially in the capital, Baghdad, and the northern city of Mosul.
Well, 4 Palestinians and 2 Israeli soldiers have been killed in clashes on the border of the Gaza Strip. Hamas has confirmed the fighting.
Today is a new celebration to the Palestinian resistance and a new accomplishment for the Qassam brigades on the Gaza Strip to break the pride of the Zionist occupation and a stab at the army that claims that they are the undefeatable and the elite powers who thought that the Gaza Strip is a land that can be threatened without consequence.
The Qassam brigades have taken responsibility over the heroic operation that they performed on the border east of Khan Yunus. We consider this heroic operation as a natural reaction to the crimes of the Israeli aggression and an emphasis on Hamas's determination to provide safety and security to our Palestinian people and to our holding onto the choice of resistance. And we, in the movement, dedicate this operation to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which has been targeted, and to the soul of the martyr Mahmoud al-Mabhouh.
Well, the incident reportedly happened when Israeli tanks entered Khan Yunus and opened fire on Palestinians. On Thursday, Israeli forces shot and wounded 2 Palestinians in separate incidents in the Gaza Strip. 2 other Palestinians were also wounded a day earlier when Israeli warplanes pounded targets near Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza. Well, European Union Foreign Affairs Chief Catherine Ashton says she's extremely concerned by the violence on the Gaza border with Israel. Ashton says she deeply regrets the loss of life in the region. She has called on both the Israelis and Palestinians to exercise restraint and urged for a complete halt to all violence. Ashton says the ongoing situation undermines current efforts to facilitate a resumption of the peace talks. Well, for more on the situation on the ground, we're being joined by Press TV's Ashraf Shannon from Gaza. Now, Ashraf, what's happening?
Yes, Kenny, so far the reports show that at least 4 Palestinians were killed today in the afternoon incursion in the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunus. They were killed during an Israeli incursion. Immediately, resistance fighters faced up to the Israeli soldiers and with explosives and firearm, killing 2 Israeli soldiers. the Israeli army radio reported that at least one of the soldiers, Israeli soldiers that were killed, was a high-ranking Israeli army officer. Today, the scene in Khan Yunis was reminiscent of Israel's 22-day war in Gaza, as people were running for their lives. A number of people, mainly civilians, were wounded during this incursion.
Well, Ashraf, the siege in Gaza continues. We have already passed the 1,000-day mark. How are Palestinians coping with the Israeli siege there? Just a quick outline on that.
Yes, right now we have major power outages in the Strip. People are going by their lives by getting small electrical generators through underground tunnels from Egypt, but even the and other stuff as well from the underground tunnels. But it's not only that Gazans are suffering from the Israeli siege, but also they are suffering from an Egyptian siege as well, as Egypt every now and then bombs a tunnel, underground tunnels, and prevents food and medicine and fuel from coming into the coastal enclave.
Right, that was Press TV's Ashraf Shannon reporting to us from Gaza. Many thanks indeed for that update there, Ashraf.
On to news out of the United Kingdom now, where several more young Muslim protesters were jailed today after they were convicted of violent disorder during the January 2009 Gaza protests. Video evidence was used to convict the defendants, but many say the sentencing up to 2.5 years for some is harsh and does not take into account complaints that police provoked violent reactions from the crowds. Press TV's Farina Alam tells us more.
Families and friends say it's a nightmare that refuses to end. So far, 22 of the 78 charged for so-called violent disorder during last year's pro-Gaza protests have been sent to jail for up to 2.5 years by a judge determined to set an example out of them. This week, several more suffered the same fate.
If you like, a veteran protester. I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm sure my face is everywhere. It's not me that's they're being picked on at the moment. It's people who are new to that kind of struggle, who they think can easily be driven out of it and easily scared.
Here are the scenes from one of the many protests in London during Israel's brutal war on Gaza. Police say public property was looted and damaged, and several officers injured by a small minority of violent protesters.
The presiding judge said today that the protesters present at all those Gaza demonstrations could, in his opinion, be divided into two different categories. The first, a large majority, were peaceful and protesting behind the official stewards. And the second group, the minority, were violent and troublemakers. Now, he says that the defendants behind me in Isleworth Crown Court today, who fell into the second category, deserved the harshest punishment.
But the severity of the sentences has left many stunned, especially since almost all the defendants were previously of good character.
I was sitting in the court and all the charges they were putting on him was waving a stick, pushing a fence, taking a chair out of Starbucks. And they even admitted he didn't injure anyone, he didn't make any damages, there was nothing at all, and they gave him a harsh sentence.
It's terrible. They destroyed our families, and they are still destroying others' families. And it's awful when you see your son going to prison or killed just like that. But we leave it and we keep praying.
Earlier this week, two defendants had their sentences reduced on appeal, while one had all charges against him dropped because of lack of evidence. Distressed family members say this gives them hope.
Really, this will explain to us, will show us that we need to carry on being strong, will give us more strength. We won't be weak, we won't go backward. It will make us fighting against this humiliation.
Campaigners have now launched a public petition to free those who have been jailed and for charges to be dropped against those awaiting trial. There are calls also for an independent investigation into complaints that police violently provoked the protesters. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Well, while Gazans struggle to stay afloat amid the tight Israeli blockade, local industries are making efforts to bypass obstacles placed by the siege. Press TV's correspondent Zafar Judah reports from Gaza.
In light of the continuing Israeli blockade on the Gaza Strip, local industrialists have strengthened resolve to resume their activities. Innovation Under the Siege is the title of an exhibition in Gaza City, showcasing items that have been produced locally amid a crippling siege. A number of local industries and trade establishments presented their products in the exhibition, organized by the Palestinian Federation of Industries. While some products were manufactured using recycled material, such as wood and broken glass windows and iron left from the debris of destroyed buildings, other handmade products were made using locally available raw material, such as bamboo furniture, clay products, and hand-woven carpets.
In the past few months, there has been a slight yet noticeable revival of the economy as a result of local initiatives. It is small and in confined sectors, but we are trying to rebuild from scratch after the Israeli destruction of our factories and economy.
The closure of all commercial crossings in 2007 and the discharge of an estimated 50,000 workers have crippled Gaza's economy. According to a report from the World Bank, 70% of industrial establishments are shut down, while the remaining 30% operate at a 10 to 50% capacity. Israel's military offensive against the Strip, which ended in January 2009, resulted in the complete or partial destruction of 324 industrial establishments. Gaza's devastated economy has been kept afloat through foreign aid contributions, UN food and service programs, and tunnel trade. Products brought in through the tunnels that run between Gaza and Egypt constitute the majority of items available in stores.
It's not just me. All the retailers in Gaza rely on products that come in through the tunnels. Products are a lot cheaper, but the majority of people can only afford basics.
Some of the products I sell are locally made preserved foods and wooden utensils. But that's only a small percentage of the products I sell. All the other items are brought in through the tunnels.
Although the development of local industries under the siege is not sufficient to impact local economic growth, it has helped revive some industrial sectors.
Earlier this month, Gaza marked 1,000 days of the Israeli blockade. And although there have been signs of increased trade activity, no real alleviation of the economic crisis can take place until the siege is lifted. Safar Duda, Press TV, Gaza.
Well, the Arab League's chief says Israel must scrap its plans to build 1,600 new housing units in occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Amr Moussa says the Arab position on Israel's settlement policy is very clear. He also says any indirect talks between Israel and Palestinians depend on the settlements issue. Moussa made the remarks on the eve of an Arab summit in Libya. Moussa said the two-day summit is expected to adopt a resolution on the Arab position toward U.S.-brokered indirect talks between Israel and Palestinians.
Well, the United States says it's trying to convince its partners to vote in a new round of sanctions against Iran. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says her country is working on the language of a proposed U.N. resolution. Clinton says she expects the resolution to win support from Russia and China. This while Beijing, one of the five veto-wielding members of the U.N. Security Council, has repeatedly refused to discuss new sanctions. China has said continued dialogue is the only way to solve the dispute over Iran's nuclear energy program. Iran says its nuclear program is peaceful and aimed at meeting the growing domestic demand for electricity.
Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva says he has plans to visit Iran in order to prevent a repeat of what happened in Iraq. Lula made the comments before members of Brazil's Arab community in Sao Paulo. He said the invasion of Iraq started with a lie that was spread by the great powers. Lula referred to Western claims at the time that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Brazilian president is set to visit Iran on May the 15th. He stressed that he seeks a peaceful solution for Iran's nuclear energy program. Lula said he was in favor of uranium enrichment to produce nuclear energy.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. It's time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Iraq's Electoral Commission says former Premier Iyad Alawi narrowly wins the parliamentary elections. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says the results are not final. Israeli intrusion into the Gaza Strip leaves four Palestinians and two Israeli soldiers dead. And the U.S. and Russia conclude a nuclear arms treaty which imposes sweeping cuts on deployed nuclear warheads.
And clearly it is in the national interest. It demonstrates the special responsibility and leadership of the United States and Russia, since we collectively have more than 90% of the world's nuclear weapons.